I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. If you live in downtown Orlando, you probably live in State House District 47. It's a competitive district that's trending Democratic. Former Orange County Commissioner Linda Stewart faces former state lawmaker Bob Brooks. I'll be joined by Stewart and Brooks in the first installment of Ballot 2012, our week-long series of conversations with the candidates in Central Florida's tightest races. That's ahead on Intersection. You're listening to Intersection's Ballot 2012 series. The race for Florida House District 47 pits two seasoned politicians against each other in a newly drawn District 47 that forms a vertical slice of Orlando stretching from Winter Park to Belle Isle. Former Orange County Commissioner Linda Stewart, a Democrat, is facing off against Bob Brooks, the Republican former state lawmaker who's been busy with his medical practice since the 90s and is now repositioning himself as an outsider to bring change to Tallahassee. Dr. Brooks, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you with us. And Ms. Stewart, nice to speak to you.
Well, thank you for having us.
I want to start first with Bob Brooks. You served as a legislator for District 35 in Orlando in the 90s and moved to Tallahassee then to lead the Florida Department of Health under Governor Jeb Bush. Why back into state politics for you right now?
Well, I'm back running for House District 47 because I see people hurting and I see great opportunities for improvement. Florida's economy is stagnant. People are out of work or underemployed, and our businesses are struggling. In fact, the median income in Orange has gone down almost 20% since 2007. Our schools need help prioritizing their funding, keeping money in the classrooms, and supporting our best teachers so they can provide a world-class education for our children. Our national and state healthcare systems are both broken. We spend trillions of dollars on high-cost diseases, but very little on prevention and primary care. I think there's very great opportunities here in the state to handle those kind of issues.
Do you see lawmakers doing something that you would like to be doing better in terms of changing what's going on in Tallahassee?
Absolutely. I do believe I would be a change agent if elected by the people of House District 47.
What would be your top priority for change?
Well, the top priority is to do activities in Tallahassee that actually promote jobs, particularly for small businesses. As the audience probably realizes, about 80% of all of the jobs in the state and of the economic base from jobs come from small businesses. And we need to continue to work with those businesses to provide opportunities to get us out of this very sluggish rebound from the recent record-setting economic recession.
What do you think is an opportunity that you would champion?
One of the things that small businesses say when you talk with them or you survey them is that many of them are struggling but do have good ideas. And I think where there are a good vision and plans from small businesses, we need to make sure that we provide them with capital. That's the number one issue. And I'm talking about small business capital, small loans where there's been well-vetted plans, business plans for the future. But opening up a new restaurant, opening up a new workshop, opening up a new place that employs people in the community will help us a lot in the Central Florida area.
Linda Stewart, you're also campaigning for a change in Tallahassee. If you're elected, though, you'll be in the political minority up against a formidable Republican majority. How do you think you would be able to affect change being in the minority position?
Well, having served in the county commission for 8 years, I served on a diverse political board of Republicans and Democrats, and we managed to make many, many changes and save the taxpayers much money. When I was first elected in 2002, our millage rate was 5.1. When I left, it was 4.7. We made an orange to green program where we reduced the amount of cost outlay for our public buildings because we turned them to green. And we have also worked very steadily with trying to just provide the public service that the people would like to see their neighborhoods improved, would like to see public safety improved, and a number of other, you know, initiatives, which I will continue to do in Tallahassee. We have I'm probably the most diversely experienced person running for the state legislature at this time. I've actually created jobs with Burnham. I spent my own money to go to La Jolla, California to get Burnham to come down as our anchor. And you can see what's happened out there in the medical city. I have created jobs down there, and we have laid a format and a platform for Innovation Way so that when we start expanding even to a greater extent up to University of Central Florida, there'll be places for these jobs to exist. And I think that that has been a huge landmark that we overcome for diversifying our economy.
What would be your top legislative priority if elected?
Well, right now, I just think that we need to return our education system budget to the budget it was several years ago. We've cut so much of it. Our teachers and our students are not able to function properly. And then they've got the FCAT, and that's been a real downer for most of the public schools. That we spend a lot of money on that, and it really has not proven to be not very effective, as we could see what had happened in this last year. So I think the FCAT is fine for testing. It should not be a model for how we fund or give our teachers a reward or downplay what the progress of our students. I think that's probably the worst way to go. And I'm certain that that's going to have its own attention in the future. But that my daughter's a teacher, and I hear, you know, it's not really the best thing for our kids.
Let me ask you just a little bit about growth. Under Governor Rick Scott, we've seen the Department for Community Affairs dissolved in Tallahassee. Is there anything on growth that you would champion if elected?
Well, you know, that concerns me because it seems what happened in Tallahassee and what does not need to happen is they try to balance their budget on the backs of the municipalities and the cities. So they go up and they say, okay, how can we look good up here? Let's get rid of these programs, and let's let the cities and counties take care of it. And it's an unfunded mandate. And they've done that already once with the juvenile justice, and I can see them looking at other programs that they will be, and this would be one in particular, where they would try to get out of helping and just send it over to the counties. And I'm, of course, being from the county, opposed to that.
Bob Brooks, what do you see as the state's role in working with local municipalities in terms of managing growth and establishing best practices now that the Department of Community Affairs is gone?
Well, if I could, just for a moment, you'd mentioned that we could respond when there was an issue in the previous statement from the opponent. I did want to mention one thing before going to the growth issue. She mentioned that she felt she was the most experienced person, and I just respectfully disagree. I think that when one looks at her record, one sees somebody who has been a community activist. I do appreciate that she's done that. And she's been a county commissioner. I don't know that she's had a job or made a payroll in the last 10 or 20 years and having experience of actually running a small business like I have. As a person who actually has been in the state house, and I served in the minority, I served under a Democratic speaker and know how to get things done across the aisle for good of the people of the district at the state level. I also served as a committee chair where we did things like making sure that people had the resources to stay in their homes rather than go into nursing homes. I think those experiences at the state level and walking in on day one in the majority as a potential leader in healthcare would make me a lot more experienced.
Let me just give Linda Stewart a brief response, if you could, and then I'd
yes.
like to come back to growth.
You know, again, Dr. Brooks is misleading, and he's not truthful. I have owned a business, a small business, and I have been an insurance agent with a 220 license. You know, I have experience in small business. He just isn't aware of my record there. Most of my record has been in public service. That's true.
Okay, let's come back to that growth issue. What would you like to see as the role of the state in terms of working with those local municipalities now that that overarching state agency, the Department of Community Affairs, has been dissolved?
Well, both the state and the local community do need to have input into growth management plans. We need to make sure that that growth is sensible, that it takes into consideration the needs of the people of the area. And, you know, I think that given the fact that we're very slowly coming out of a major recession says to me that we will need to continue to make sure that we take off any regulations that are not necessary for public safety, but allow growth where it's sensible and where it allows people to to prosper in Central Florida. When my opponent was a county commissioner, she actually supported a five-year moratorium on growth in Orange County. And I'm concerned about some of the examples when she voted on the county commission of limiting growth, including of businesses that we so desperately need now in Central Florida.
I do want to also pick up on education. Linda Stewart mentioned the FCAT just a moment ago, saying it should not be a model for funding or for teacher evaluation or rewards. What do you see as the role of the FCAT in moving forward, especially as we get ready for national standards to be taking effect in the near future?
Well, as I think many of the viewers may know or listeners may know, the FCAT will be going away in a couple years, and we will have better standards that are more nationally based. We do need performance measures of some type for particularly the improvement in schools and teachers. We'll be moving away from the FCAT and moving to other mechanisms to make sure that the dollar spend in the classroom, which I want to increase, will be there. So I'm very supportive of public schools, and I appreciate that my opponent's daughter's a teacher. I actually am a professor. I have been a professor for 12 years at two state universities. I know firsthand what it's like to teach in the classroom. I know firsthand the limitations and some of the challenges we've had in K-12 as I see those products that come out then from the school systems into the college. And so I'm very supportive of more technical and vocational schools. Not everyone needs to go to college. I think we should do more in the education system for that.
Do you think that teachers are teaching to the test right now?
I hear that some of them are, yes. And I think, and unfortunately, that's a tough way to be using classroom time. But somehow we've got to bridge this need to have measures to determine performance of teachers in the classroom. Otherwise, we can find ourselves rewarding bad performance, which hurts our kids. And that's ultimately what we want, is good education for our children.
Linda Stewart, what would be an example of a substantive reform you'd like to see the legislature to do in regards to FCAT education?
Well, it will have its revolving into something that is hopefully better than what we see today. But we just simply cannot continue. For instance, public schools have to test to the FCAT. Many of the charter schools are not required to. We have some very good charter schools that do an excellent job that do on their own decide to use the FCAT. Cornerstone's one, Lake Eola's one. But so many of them just aren't required to live up to the standards that our public school has been required to. I think that a fair system is the best system, and it's not fair. So I want to see that FCAT be given much less of a stringent review, and that when these national standards come up, that it doesn't do worse than what the FCAT has done. And so, but really, what we need is funding. That's what we really need to be able to get in and do for our children what we've done in the past. And, you know, with the Martinez and Bush, we had really an excellent system. We're 45 now. We should not be 45 in the United States. That's ridiculous. So we're dismantling our education system. Without it, we're not going to be able to bring in these Fortune 500 companies, as I well know.
I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with former Orange County Commissioner Linda Stewart and former State Representative Dr. Bob Brooks, both contesting for District 47. I'm Mark Simpson. You can tell us about issues that are important to you online, Facebook and Twitter, or send email to intersection@WMFE.org. Bob Brooks, I want to ask you just a little bit about your own previous record as a legislator. You weren't afraid to take a stand on cultural issues as a lawmaker in the 90s. You drafted a letter to Disney in 1995 criticizing the company for extending health benefits to gay couples. You say you've changed your position on some of those issues now, but I wonder if you could explain for us how voters can be sure that change is sincere and not just political posturing.
Sure. I appreciate that. And while that issue was 16 years ago, and I'm moving forward from that, it is reasonable to mention a few things about it. Number one, it was a different era in regards to what was going on in the political sphere around us. At this point, what I've said is my principles haven't changed, but priorities do change. And right now, what this state needs are jobs, education quality, and people in healthcare at the state level who actually know how to get us better quality healthcare and access for more people. So while I would be supportive, for instance, of the registry, the partner registry that Orange County has, I'm in agreement with that. I can be very helpful as a state legislator for issues that impact some in that area, very importantly, like AIDS. I've been on the National Institutes of Health AIDS Advisory Board for 4 years, 2006 to 2010. Last summer, I spent time in Nigeria, including at an AIDS clinic. And the AIDS PAC for the state of Florida has endorsed me. Programs like AIDS Drug Assistance, which helps pay for drugs for AIDS programs, because I ran the Department of Health and know how that works, I can be a champion for in the legislature. So I think that there are areas that I actually would hope to be able to sponsor and support that actually will help many people in that lifestyle in the future.
Can you provide an example of when you've made a decision where your political priority was in conflict with your personal view and you had to reconcile that difference?
Well, I can give an example of a issue that was a difficult one to when you first considered it, but then when I realized the importance that it meant for a group of people, I had to change my emphasis, and that was a safety program for drug users. Back in the 1990s, I actually joined as a prime co-sponsor with somebody quite from the other side of the aisle, Representative Lois Frankel at that time, to sponsor a bill that would, under controlled circumstances, bring clean needles to drug addicts to decrease the chance of having infectious diseases, including AIDS and hepatitis. That was very unpopular with some of the Republicans in the House. But nonetheless, I actually co-sponsored that bill and spoke for it. It did not pass. But I think that's an example of sometimes one has to look at issues that are hard that might not naturally be what people believe in your party, and yet you have to take a hard vote on.
Linda Stewart, same question. Can you tell us a brief example in your career of public service where you've had to reconcile personal differences you may have had with a political issue or an issue of public good?
Well, you know, being on a diverse board of Republicans and Democrats, you always have to make compromises. And I think that's one of the things that I do best, working across the aisle, making those compromises. So always when you make a compromise, it's not 100% of what you would like to see, but you do it for the benefit of making sure that these laws pass. But I do want to say something about your question to Dr. Brooks. And that was, you know, my opinion is government does not need to be involved with any way of discrimination or suppressing any citizen against their rights. And most all of the legislation, particularly the attitude, even in the 90s, it may be 16 years ago, but I don't really think that attitude has changed. When you write a letter that says it's unhealthy, unnatural, and unworthy, and that you suspect that people are going to get AIDS if they go to Disney, I mean, that is, even in the 90s, that is a pretty profound letter to write. And if you asked, am I going to change my ways? I don't think with those words you really have the desire to change much, particularly if you have strong, as he stated, concerns about that. And women need to have government out of their business. We don't need to be setting rules against their personal choices in government. And those are some of the things that we're going to have to tackle when we get and do it in a compromising way. But we have to tackle those issues. We can't have legislators just dictating to women what they should and shouldn't do, nor suppress voting or suppress any citizen. I mean, that's wrong, and I'm against it.
Brief response.
Well, I think that Linda's sort of in park on an issue from 16, 17 years ago. I'm driving forward with what's necessary for Florida's people right now in the district, and that is issues of jobs, quality education, and improved health care. And hopefully during the time we have remaining, I'd like to make a few comments about health care, since that's an area that I work in.
That's where we're going next. You've talked about wanting to fight for better access to affordable health care for Florida residents. Governor Scott says if the Affordable Care Act is not repealed before 2014, the state is going to opt out of the Medicaid expansion and online insurance exchanges. Is that something that you support?
Well, what I have talked about publicly is we currently have a Medicaid system, a health system for the low-income people of the state that covers 3 million people but costs $21 billion. And there are tremendous inefficiencies in it. And unfortunately, it results in less than optimal care for many patients and many clients. We have ways in which we need to work on the current Medicaid system to make the current 3 million Floridians have better access to care, such as providing them with a patient-centered medical home and after-hours availability to healthcare personnel in the evenings and on weekends to keep them out of the emergency rooms and out of the hospitals. That alone can save several hundred million dollars.
But on those two points, the Medicaid expansion and insurance exchange, do you support or not?
I support an insurance marketplace, which is a electronic, a web-based approach to having information available to people as to what their choices of insurance products are. And then in the Medicaid arena, what I've said is that I'm not necessarily against some expansion of our current Medicaid, but it needs to be considered after we get the inefficiencies out of the current system. And the reason is that if we expand it completely to a 1.5 million additional people, while it's already dysfunctional and people can't get care, it's going to cause even more problems with those patients.
What do you think about government involvement in creating an insurance marketplace? We've seen at the state level trying to create a market for property insurance, and that hasn't gone so well. So just what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm talking about an information exchange where people can go to find options, and they're laid out in a way that a person with a fourth or sixth grade education level of reading and understanding could interpret so that they then can determine what insurance program is best for them.
Linda Stewart, if you are elected and you see Republicans going forward under Governor Rick Scott and not participating in the Medicaid expansion and in insurance exchange, what are you able to do in the minority party?
Basically, the governor cannot just opt us out. It's up to the legislators. So it's going to be in the legislators' purview to go in and make those decisions. So I would think that there'd be the pressure that would be there for us to find a way that we don't opt out, that we can cover those that need to be covered, and that we do do as the federal government has asked, and that is provide an insurance exchange to allow the citizens to make their choices. I think choices are always a good thing, but I agree with you. The insurance that we did with the coverage of our property and in order to and not allowing our regular companies to come in and be a part of that was the wrong way to go. We really need to expand that so that other companies can also be in part of providing insurance for hurricane and property damage. But we don't treat people equally, and that's what I think is our biggest mistake. We look at people as classes, and they shouldn't be looked at that. We should be looking at people as just a person, and that how can we help?
I do want to talk about business just a little bit, and I wonder, what do you think would be your top priority in terms of helping out businesses in District 47 if elected, Mr.?
Very easy. Having been in the county commission and having traveled all over the world, really, bringing in ideas and certainly research money, I think that the businesses will come if we have a good education system. If we're not providing, and this has been told to me time and time again by Fortune 500 companies, they want to know where their workforce is coming from. Is it an educated workforce? And if we're not providing for that educated workforce, we're not going to get those companies here that we want to see. And there certainly are plenty of companies that could come here, some clean industries that would be really helpful. I wish that I had been there another 4 years. I would have gotten a solar company to come. I would have had a company come that could do desalinization for our water resources. We have a lot of companies that are interested in going out to our dump and recycling that. There's just a lot of opportunities here, but we have to have, in order to bring these big companies here, we have to have the educational system.
Just briefly, briefly, staying with where people are going to be coming from, they could be riding a rail system, SunRail.
That's right, I supported.
But I wonder, do you think the local tax dollars invested in SunRail was worthwhile for District 47?
Absolutely. I think there's four stations in District 47. What we're lacking is the connectivity to those stations from the neighborhoods, and that's what we really have to work on, is how we're going to get these circulators up and running in order to bring them to the SunRail stations.
And I want to ask you a similar question, Dr. Brooks, in terms of bringing businesses into District 47, what would you do in terms of your top priority? And then I want to ask you about transportation.
Sure. Building off of actually questions that small businesses have answered as to their needs, the number one issue is having access to capital for small businesses that have good ideas that want to expand and want to come here. So we do need to increase that. We do currently have a small business loan program that needs to have additional funds that will allow businesses to come to this area. Secondly, where necessary, when there are regulations or rules that impede their ability to work, or to expand, and which are not going to protect the public, we need to look for ways to simplify things. And thirdly, we need to have a business environment that is consistent and doesn't overtax businesses. And I'm worried about my opponent's record on the commission with numerous taxes in a variety of areas that I believe could suppress some businesses from coming here.
Are you saying that that environment for business doesn't exist right now?
No, what I'm saying is it needs to be made better if we're going to get out of this economic recession in a way that gets people back to work in the coming year.
Do you think the legislature's involvement with getting SunRail passed was appropriate?
Well, I think SunRail. I'm for SunRail, and I'm glad to see that we have it coming. I think that there are times when the state transportation committee and funding needs to be involved with local events, and other times not.
So just briefly in summary, Linda Stewart, what is your succinct vision for District 47?
Well, let me just also say that I think that my opponent is either extremely naive or he's just not informed about government funding and our resources, particularly with small business. Bank America is giving already out small business loans. We have an entrepreneurial center that the University of Central Florida deals with small business, and our own Chamber of Commerce has their own separate group for small business where there's tools available. So let me just say that. My vision for education is to find the funding to put into back into education up to 3 to 4 years ago, that we create job markets that are particularly in the green collar industry that, you know, are out there and they're ready to get started if they just had the government to come in and allow some of the rules to change. And I think we can do that. And public safety. I have been endorsed by the classroom teachers. I've been endorsed by the largest FOP, and the public safety is important because I did street racing across the aisle. I did red light cameras and many other things.
Dr. Brooks, succinctly, your vision for the district.
Well, we need to continue to focus on jobs and doing everything possible to decrease taxes and improve the climate for small businesses. We need to encourage quality education, both public schools and in private charter schools. And other options for parents. We need to continue to look for ways within the healthcare system to improve the quality and access for people, including working on the Medicaid system.
I've been speaking with former Orange County Commissioner Linda Stewart and former State House Representative Dr. Bob Brooks. Both are running for the State District 47 seat. Very nice to speak with you both.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah.
Thank you.
Who do you support in State House District 47, and what are the issues important to you? Tell us about it online, where the conversation continues, on Facebook and Twitter. Visit WMFE.org/intersection, and you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.